Hearing is change of zone number 1851, the Evergreen Companies LLC. And are we going to consolidate presentation on that, Mr. Fuqua?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And it is also conditional use number 2134, the Evergreen Companies LLC. For those of you who have an interest, what we have here are two separate questions on the same property. So the presentation is going to be consolidated, but when we vote on these, we will vote on them separately. So, Mr. Fuqua, you may have, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, Ms.
So this is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 7.33 acres more or less. The property is located on the north side of Gills Neck Road, approximately 135 feet west of Spinnaker Circle in the Wolf Run development. The 911 address is 16386 Gills Neck Road, Lewis. The tax parcel is District 335, Map 8, Parcel 44. This is also a conditional use, which is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, to containing 7.33 acres more or less. The property is located on the north side of Gills Neck Road, approximately 135 feet west of Spinnaker Circle in the Wolf Run development. The 911 address is 16386 Gills Neck Road, Lewis. The tax parcel is District 335, Map 8, Parcel 44. Submitted for the record, there is a site plan, there is an exhibit booklet. There's the results from the Delta service level evaluation results. We also received comments from the Sussex Conservation District as staff analysis, and we have one letter that I did receive, and it came in the form of an email from Joseph Wolznowski, and that he has a long-established 82 single-family properties in of the adjacent Wolf Run and the more recently developed adjacent properties of Breakwater, which is 185 units, and Hawkseye, 162 units, constitute a highly regarded community of single-family dwellings. As a retired management consultant, I fully appreciate Evergreen's objective of maximizing the return for their property. However, the proposed rezoning to permit the building of duplex homes in the midst of the existing community of single-family homes would change the perceived character of the community and would significantly impact the property values of the single-family homes in the community. I believe I speak for virtually all of the residents of this community in urging the Commission to reject Evergreen's proposed zoning change. And that's the only letter regarding this application that I have received. Thank you.
Okay. One thing to clarify, just for the benefit, and I don't think the Commission needs this, but for the public, the way the notice, there's not an issue with the notice, but it talks about being on the north side of Gills Neck Road, approximately 135 feet west of Spinnaker Circle in the Wolf Run development. That's referring to Spinnaker Circle being in the Wolf Run development, not this property being in the Wolf Run development. As I was reading that again, I thought maybe that was misleading. It's just that's the location where Spinnaker is. So just to clarify that in case anybody had any questions on it.
All right, thank you. Now, Mr. Fuqua.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Jim Fuqua, and for the benefit of Commissioner Wingate, and also, I think I should offer my congratulations to Mr. Wheatley, although I say that with some reservation. I'm not sure.
Well, we'll see.
With me are Josh Mastrangelo and Robert Palmer of Beacon Engineering. The property before you tonight is actually owned by some old friends of my family, Heidi Taylor and Josh Lowe, who went to school with my children. The exhibit book was submitted, which you should have. That does contain a summary of the proposed development and some supporting documents, including the PLUS response and an environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation report. And as was mentioned, there are two applications before you tonight. They both involve a 7.33 acre parcel of land located on the north side of Gills Neck Road. This is just south of the Lewis city limit. The first application is to rezone the parcel from AR1 to MR, and the second application is for a conditional use for 26 multifamily residential units that would be duplexes, so there'd be actually 13 duplex buildings. And as stated, we will consolidate our presentation, so this will serve as the record on both of those applications. You know, can you pull back a little bit on the kind of As stated, the parcel is located on the north side of Gills Neck Road, and I'm sure you're familiar with Gills Neck Road. That is the right turn from Kings Highway heading into Lewis right at the Cape Penelope High School light. The road then runs south, east, and then north, and actually ends up at the Canal Bridge in Lewis on Savannah Road. I think you're all familiar. This area has been a growing residential area in the last 15, 20 years. On the south side of Gills Neck Road are several single-family residential subdivisions, which I believe were all developed by LT Associates. I know Bill Lingo's here, so if I'm wrong, I'm sure he'll correct me. But those three subdivisions are the Senators, Hawk's Eye, Wolf Run, and Wolf Point. And again, they would be right in. These subdivisions are right here. They're all large lot, large home, very handsome developments. To the east of our site are three parcels of land. And then to the east of that is the entrance to the Schofield development. And the Schofield development borders our property to the rear. And that would be here. The entrance comes in here. Adjacent to our site on the west, so that would be to the left, so that would be right in this area right here. That land is actually part of Schofield, but it's subject to an easement with the state of Delaware, and it's actually an extension of the Junction and Breakwater bike trail that basically connects Rehoboth to Lewis, which I ride quite frequently, so I'm very familiar with that area. You used to have to go down Gills Neck Road to get to the bridge, and now you have a nice bike path most of the way. On the other side of the bike path is the Cadbury MRRPC. The Cadbury parcel, that would be, again, right there, this piece right here. The Cadbury parcel contains 95 acres. It was rezoned MR and approved as an RPC containing a full spectrum of residential uses. It was actually broken up into two different parcels as far as the development. Parcel A is the parcel closest to the corner here, which would be right here. That's the corner of Gills Neck Road where it turns. And that basically was approved as a retirement community or a senior living community with different level of services. The RPC actually approved that for 48 single and duplex condominium units and 84 apartments and a healthcare center with 80 assisted living and skilled nursing care rooms. And that is completed, has been completed for some time, and that's now called the Moorings at Lewis. And then parcel B is the remainder of the site, which would be this portion here. That's a mixed-use residential development containing 80 single-family lots and 105 townhouse and duplex condominium units, and that is the Breakwater community. Then to the west of the Cadbury site, on the other side of Gills Neck Road, which would be over here, is another LT Associates development, and that's the Governor's. I think from just viewing it, it just recently started its infrastructure construction, and it's undergoing development at the current time. Governor's was approved as a conditional use for 472 multifamily condominium units on 186 acres. So I think you can see from the nature of the area that there's a full range of residential uses along that section of Gills Neck Road. And again, our application is requesting a rezoning to MR, which is the current zoning of the Cadbury site adjacent to us, and a conditional use for 26 residential units and 13 duplex buildings on the 7.33 acre parcel. And that would be a density of 3.5 units per acre, which again is less than the density permitted in an MR zoning district. We believe that the proposed use is in accordance with the state, Sussex County, and the City of Lewis plans, First, under the state strategies for state policies and spending, and this is noted in the plus letter, this site is located in an investment level one, and investment level one are areas that are already developed in an urban or suburban fashion where infrastructure exists and where future infill projects are expected and encouraged. And I think that pretty much describes the site. The level one is the highest investment level designated in the state strategies plan. Under the county comprehensive plan, the site is located in the environmentally sensitive development area, which is one of the growth areas designated by the plan. The comp plan states that a range of housing types should be permitted in the environmentally sensitive development area, including single family, townhouse, and multifamily units. In addition, our site is very close to Lewis, and I had occasion to be familiar with the Lewis Comprehensive Plan from some other work I was doing, and I did come across some really interesting and pertinent facts. Lewis has a population that is older than the population of Sussex County and is significantly older than the population of the state of Delaware. Based on their comprehensive plan, it states that as of the 2010 census, the population older than 65 was the following. For the state, 14.4% of the residents are over 65. For Sussex County, 20.8% of the residents are over 65. And for Lewis, 43.6% of the residents are over 65. The median age of a Lewis resident is 63 years old. So that's pretty interesting. The reason that's pertinent is the Lewis Comprehensive Plan recognizes that many of its residents are older, and a lot of them have a desire to what they call age in place, if you're familiar with that expression. And what it means is you live in a community, you want to stay in the community. You don't want to go somewhere else. And of course, as people get older, they want to remain in that community. That's where their friends are. That's where their things they do are. That's where the church is, things of that nature. So for many people, at some point, a large single-family home is no longer needed. The maintenance and yard work become a burden. The costs associated just with ownership, such as taxes, insurance, utility bills, become a financial liability. So the intent of our proposed development of the 26 units provides an alternative housing option that would permit area residents in Lewis in this area to stay, basically to stay in this area and to, quote, age in place and remain part of their neighborhood and part of the Lewis community. Now, as to the specifics of the proposed development, water will be provided for domestic use and fire protection by the City of Lewis. The Lewis Board of Public Works confirmed that it has capacity and is willing and able to provide water service to the development. The site is located in the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District. A final sewer concept plan has been submitted to the Sussex County Engineering Department. There are no tidal or non-tidal wetlands located on the site, and the site is not in the 100-year floodplain. There are no endangered species associated with the site, and there are no known archaeological sites or National Registered listed properties on the parcel. Stormwater management and sediment control facilities will be designed to meet or exceed DENREC regulations. The drainage design consists of directing stormwater to shallow swales, catch basins, and culverts, and convey the runoff to an on-site stormwater ponds for infiltration and recharge. DelDOT indicated in its letter of January 31st of this year that the development's traffic impact did not warrant the need for a traffic impact study, so a TIS was not required. DelDOT calculates that the development's high vehicle trip, the peak hour in the evening would generate 28 vehicle trips at that hour. So that's the high peak. DelDOT in their letter states that they consider the traffic impact to be negligible. The entrance to the site, of course, will be constructed per DLDOT standards. As required by DLDOT, there will be a 5-foot right-of-way dedication along the site frontage that would create a 30-foot right-of-way from the center line of Gills Neck Road, which is the current policy of DLDOT. And in addition, there would be a 15-foot permanent easement granted to DLDOT along the right-of-way. In that area, the applicant will construct a shared-use path within the easement area along the frontage. The path will be separated from the road shoulder by a 5-foot-wide green space, and that path will tie into the Junction and Breakwater Trail. Janelle, can you go to the site plan?
It's thinking about it.
I'll go on. Another thing with the city of Lewis that I learned about when I was doing the other work was that the city has a scenic and historic byways master plan for Kings Highway and Gills Neck Road. Basically, what the city did was they designated areas that they consider to be the main gateways into the city, and then they're developing plans on how they would like to have them develop to create an attractive landscape coming into the city. They've actually formalized that into a master plan for Kings Highway, which of course is the road that goes by the high school, and also Gills Neck Road. And that plan does include areas that are outside the city limits, which this is, obviously. In conformity with that master plan, the development is designed so that the, if you look from Gills Neck Road there, the closest duplex building would be about 60 feet from the road right away. And the pool and deck area, which are to the north there, that you can see the blue for the swimming pool, would be about 80 feet from the right away. And in addition to the shared use path along the roadway, there would be extensive landscaping along the frontage on both sides of the entrance. And you can also see there's a stormwater pond on the north side of the entrance, which we think would create a very attractive appearance along Gills Neck Road, which is consistent with and in accordance with the byways master plan. Trouble getting that site plan. The site is in the Cape Hamilton School District, obviously, and fire service, again, obviously, is provided by the Lewis Volunteer Fire Department. Okay, as to the development site plan, as you can see, there would be the one entrance from Gills Neck Road. There is one cul-de-sac street that would have islands in it separating the drive lanes in and out. And then at the cul-de-sac, there would be a round landscaped island for the turnaround. The street would be private. It would be built to county requirements. It would have curbs and gutters, sidewalks on both sides of the street. And then again, out on Gills Neck Road, there'd be the shared use path rather than sidewalks. The stormwater management ponds are located at the northeast and the southeast corners of the site. Again, the one by the entrance and the one to the rear. There would be a swimming pool, 15 feet by 30 feet, with a small pool house and a deck as a recreational amenity. The 13 duplex buildings would be located as shown on the plan. These units would be owned in fee with a fee-owned lot for each unit. So the average actual lot size per each unit is about 7,240 square feet. Of course, all the lots would be subject to community restrictive covenants, and that would cover the development and would there'd also be a homeowners association to enforce the restrictions, maintain the common areas, and collect dues and assessments. I'll bring a board next time.
They won't, that's not holding it. So.
Don't
As I mentioned, the Gills Neck Road frontage, in accordance with the master plan, will be extensively landscaped. Again, looking at the site plan, the east, west, and north, that'd be up, down, and left, edges of the property have existing woods that cover approximately 1.45 acres of the site. Of that 1.45 acres, 1.32 acres of those woods would remain. So the woods would actually be removed or minimum, and about 90% of that existing wooded area would remain. The woods would be part of a minimum 20-foot forested buffer along the east and west sides of the property. So again, that's the up and down sides. There'd be a minimum 20-foot fully wooded buffer there. And on the rear portion to the left, it'd be a 10-foot forested buffer along that boundary, which again would include the existing tree line. The rear property line, again, we tried to pull buildings back from the road frontage to create the landscaping areas consistent with the byway's master plan. So we have a smaller buffer on the rear of 10 feet, but that buffer is actually adjacent to the 20-foot forested buffer for Schofield. So actually between Schofield and this site, there'd actually be a 30-foot wooded buffer. Consisting with the aging in place concept, the units would have a master bedroom and bathroom on the first floor. The units will have a two-car garage and ample room in the driveway to park two additional vehicles. So you could park four vehicles at each unit. In conclusion, this is a relatively small development with a minimal impact. The MR zoning is consistent with the MR zoning of the adjacent Cadbury property. The 26 duplex units are consistent with the development in the area, which is a mixed-use residential area, and our density of 3.5 is less than the maximum density permitted in the MR zone. Janelle did read that there was an email letter from a resident opposing the application, and basically what that letter email stated was that this would change the perceived character of the area and affect property values. So as you know, I don't get a chance to respond or rebut to opposition. I know there's not a lot of people here, I don't know, but I prepared to at least tell you what I would say to that, to respond to that. Again, going back to what I already said, this is an investment level one. This is where the state says that these types of developments should go, and it is in a growth area under the comp plan, and the comp plan specifically states that multifamily units are appropriate in that growth area. So this is an area where multifamily should go. The memo you received from the Planning and Zoning Director, it states that both the MR zoning and the conditional use for 26 units is consistent with land use in the area. The county, as I mentioned, has approved multifamily uses in this area, and those multifamily uses are adjacent to or across the road from the Senator single family development and Hawk's Eye single family development. And those multifamily developments have had no negative impact on the single family developments in this area. And if you actually consider the governor's development, the breakwaters development, and the moorings, Sussex County has approved in this immediate area 660 multifamily units plus an additional 80 assisted units, rooms in the assisted living facility. So based on those facts and that precedent, the Lowe's land here that's being requested for this use is appropriate, and actually it's totally consistent with the area. And again, I think in the long run, it would actually be the people in this area that would be probably living in this facility. So with that, I do have proposed findings and conditions, which I'll submit for you to consider. I combined my findings into one to apply to both of them, and I did, one of the conditions does restate what I said about the buffers, the 20-foot, the landscaping in the front, and the 10-foot in the rear, in case there's any question about that. So I'll give this to you. So with that, that would conclude our presentation, other than whatever questions you may have.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you. And once again, we'll start with Ms. O.E.P.
Thank you. I do have some questions. Several of these houses are right up to the rear yard setback. I'm curious, we didn't have like a real elevation of what the houses are going to look like. Are they one-story buildings? Do they have screen porches, decks in the back, anything such as this planned?
Do you want to address them?
Sure.
Just identify yourself.
Yep. Josh Mastrangelo on behalf of the Evergreen Companies. They're designed to be one-story in appearance. They'll be a story and a half. The half story is in the roof line. So, you know, they're in character with the area. This is the worst case scenario box, so that would include any add-ons to the back of the building.
Okay, so that will be the place there's going to be. Nobody's going to have to come into the board of business and say...
Nobody's going to be adding porches on the back of a building that would encroach.
Okay. That's all I have for now, but I reserve the right to ask more questions as things go on.
I'll grant you that right.
Thank you.
Mr. Hudson?
No questions, thanks.
Okay. Mr. Hopkins?
No questions.
Ms. Wingate?
I do have a question. I guess I'm going to be the parking princess tonight. I didn't see any parking noted at the pool.
Good question.
Is it because it's a small community?
Yeah, because of the size of it, there's no parking there, although it probably could fit a parking place in there if needed.
Thank you.
All right, then.
Oh, wait, I do have more questions.
Okay.
Now, my brain just kicked back in.
Back to you.
All right. Will this be deed restricted, since you're saying you're going for the older market? And what is the price range you're looking at, possibly, for these homes?
I don't think there's any intention to deed restrict it, but we think that's the market that would be interested in it. You mean age restricted?
Age restricted, yes. I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah. Obviously, it'd be deed restrictions with... this is a little different than most of the multifamily homes you see, because this is actually duplexes with fee lots. So you actually own your unit and you own your lot, and then there's a part of the restrictions has a party wall agreement where the units come together, which is standard. But so the people would actually own their land in this case. The only common areas would be the stormwater ponds, the rec area, and things of that nature, and the buffers.
Okay. And the price range, any ideas on that yet?
No.
Okay.
All
right.
No, I think is the answer.
No.
Okay.
Can I just ask you a couple more questions on this parking? So I'm looking at a plan here, and it looks like there's a 14-foot drive path. So there's no parking on the street. Is that correct?
Correct.
And how many parking spaces per unit?
Paul Palmer for Beacon Engineering. There's actually two parking spaces per unit. Each unit will have its own garage.
Now, is the two parking spaces include? Does that include
that
parking in
the
garage?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you'd said before it was four total: two outside, two in the garage.
As I understand, there'd be additional room in the driveway to park.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, oh, it's
there's two garage spots.
It's a full two-car garage, so two full-width spaces are in the garage.
That's for each
where
unit.
That's where you're meeting the requirement. There's additional parking in the driveways the two.
So each unit can park four if two park in the garage?
Correct.
Some of them probably even more because the driveways are longer.
Thank you.
It's going to be a small garage. Okay. Anyone else? Counselor, question?
No, that answered my question, because that sort of makes it moot. We came across this on another application. It's actually two spaces per dwelling unit plus a half a space for each bedroom. So I was going to ask how many bedrooms. I think you'd said how many there were, but it sounds like you'd exceed that anyway.
The cul-de-sac, that's also just 14 feet?
Yes.
So can you get a Can you get a truck around that 14 that radius? But can you get a fire truck around that radius?
Yes, we've when we did the concept plan, we actually took it to the next step to make sure that a fire truck could traverse the entire project in anticipation of submitting for site plan approval from the fire marshal.
And I would add to that, ultimately, they're going to be bound by the county's street design regs, and that's been blessed by the fire marshal. So if that's not adequate, the public works folks are going to make them change that design to make the streets work. So.
Okay. Anything else, Councilor?
No, thanks.
Okay. Ms. Cornwell?
None, thank you.
Ms. Bolkovich?
None, thank you.
Ms. Walz?
None, thank you.
Great.
Fuquay, if you would be kind enough to take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 1851 and or change of use number 2134, the Evergreen Companies LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. We'll start with you, and then we'll come over to here. So you in the green? You come up, give us your name and address, and you may have the floor.
Hi, my name is Espen Riggins out of 16811 Kestrel Court, and I'm in the Hawkside development. Okay. My house is located a little bit west of this site, okay, but I'm still within 200 feet. My house is directly behind the Breakwater Lewis Trail, the Lewis Bright Breakwater Trail. Okay. excuse me, a little dry. Every day that since we've lived there, we've lived there permanently for 3 years, and we've been in that house for 8 years. A couple corrections I'd like to make.
Okay.
Adjacent to the property to the west is not Cadbury. It is actually the development of Breakwater, which is a mix of mostly single homes and some twins. The Cadbury development is located to the west of that, and it's you know what that use is. And that is right next to the Breakwater development where the twins are.
Okay.
So I just want to bring that part up.
Can I just say that I did Cadbury.
Cadbury is down further,
no,
sir.
No, I did it. It's all of that is Cadbury. It was one MRO.
Breakwater development, and it was developed by Shell Brothers.
I think the point is that the whole thing was one big MRRPC when it came through as Breakwater, and then
That may be, but it's not Cadbury.
No, that's true. Yeah, it was separated off, but it's all originally.
I live directly in back of where the trail comes out.
Technical correction noted. Go ahead.
I live directly in back of the trail, and as far as the traffic goes, it's horrendous. I don't know where 28 cars came from or 28 vehicles of any kind. We get them about every 15 minutes. All day long, you can sit on my back porch, hear screeching brakes, screaming profanities, and this is all due to people just coming out of the trail on the bikes and the cars. And there has been minor accidents there already, and it's only a matter of time before somebody's killed there. We sit there and wait for it. Because it just goes on all day, all summer long. So it's not, there's very heavy traffic on Gill's Neck. I don't know if anyone here has visited Gill's Neck in recent years. The development is out of control. We have one large development after another. Right now, Governors is going in and Schofield's going on either end of our road. The traffic is unbelievable. I mean, we used to sit out back when we first bought this house. We could sit out back on our porch and count the number of cars that went by on a Sunday afternoon. It was that infrequent. That's no longer the case. It is with the development and the construction going on, it is incredible, the amount of traffic. I feel like I'm back in Jersey. That's how much traffic there is on that road now. So I don't know why a study was not done to whatever kind of traffic study they do here for that. I have no idea, but I don't know why one wasn't done, because it's certainly needed. And I believe that we have enough multi-use right now on that road between what's going on in Governors and what has already been put in there. There's plenty. And as far as any further development goes, There's another parcel coming up for sale that's going to be developed, I think, as stores, is what they're talking about. It's directly across from the high school at the traffic light of Kings Highway and Gilsneck. So, I mean, there is more than enough traffic on this road already. We don't need any more. And I'm asking you not to approve this as multi-use. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir, over here.
And while that gentleman's walking up, just for the benefit of the public, I can assure you that all the commissioners do, for every meeting, drive and look at all the properties. So they're all familiar with.
Well, I don't see what's going on here.
Yeah. Well, I just don't want there to be any misconceptions that the Planning and Zoning Commission's not familiar with the properties that are subject to the applications.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Chairman Wheatley and members of the commission, I'm Ronald Smith, and I live in that property just to the east or southeast of the one under discussion.
Okay.
I'm not against the development. However, I think in keeping with the character of the area that the one duplex unit closest to the road on the west side, 25 and 26, should be eliminated so that there's a additional setback of the buildings or homes from the road. Most everything else on that road set back at least 100 feet. And this, the way I see the drawing, that home's only going to be set back about 50 feet, the first number 26. So I would recommend that instead of 26 units, they only have 24.
Thank you. All right, sir. All right, we'll take that under advisement. Thank you. Okay, who was next? Yes, sir. Come on up.
Good evening. My name is Wayne Warren, and I live at 16820 Ketch Court in the Wolf Run development. And I'm like Ron. I think somebody that has a piece of property can benefit from the use. But again, I think there's too much going on here, and it should be scaled back a little bit. The traffic is unbelievable. I've lived there for 23 years. I'm a resident of Lewis. And on the weekend, you don't have to worry about the cul-de-sac because the fire truck is going to get on Gilsneck Road.
I need you to face us when you're giving your...
I'm familiar with Mr.
I know I'm not at the track. I'm at the Fuquay, but you need to look at me.
I got you. The average age of Lewis is older, and I agree with that. Mm-hmm. The cost of these homes is not going to bring somebody younger in. And the aging in place is, this is a retirement area for people from not around this area. And I'm not against that, but I just want to make that known because that point was brought out that there's older people here and they're going to age in place. It's kind of like, okay, what are we saying here? Is it for younger people? And what are the costs? Because we haven't heard that yet. So I think what we really need to do is see what we have going on here. But again, I'm not saying that it shouldn't happen. The man owns his property, he has a right to profit off of it.
Right.
But I don't know if anybody's been there on the weekend this year, but the left turn lane that DelDOT put in going out of Gilsneck Road to the high school, it's not big enough already. So I don't know where their studies are from. Probably the same one that they conducted when they were doing the Five Points intersection. Because Lewis is overrun right now. Okay, and I brought that up to the DelDOT engineers, and they don't have an answer because we really don't know how many people are coming in that town, but we only have two ways in and out, and we really need to consider that. And I know that's not your responsibility, that's DelDOT's, but it's something I think we really should consider, and that road is a dangerous road. There will be somebody killed on that road this year, guaranteed.
Well, I hope you're wrong.
I hope I am too.
But Mr. Warren, next time I start talking about interconnectivity and more than one way to get into some place, I'm going to call you, okay? So you can come in and say you.
Well, guess what? I've lived here my whole life, and I try to get around the back roads. Doesn't happen anymore.
I have as well, sir.
Just take this into consideration. I think there needs to be some things done there because there really is too many people on that road, and we keep bringing more in. And it goes into the canal, so we're dumping them out again on Kings Highway. If anybody's been there this weekend, you know, you could see what happened this past weekend. It was ridiculous. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your comments. Who's next? Anyone else? Anyone else in opposition? All right, then. Anyone on the commission have any questions?
I actually have one question.
Yes, ma'am.
You said they're going to be aging in place. Are they going to be universal designed homes? Or at least some type of those techniques?
No, what the reward would be, if that's what it's called. Is that with the bars and things of that nature?
It's not handicap accessible. I mean, for the most part, you're not going to have handicap bathrooms, but it is designed for an older customer. You know, it's not going to be restricted to that because some people don't want a large single-family house. These were designed to be in between the smaller breakwater units and what's at Governor's and the larger single families as an option in between those.
Is there space to put a ramp in if somebody needs to?
Sure.
It would be, anything could be retrofitted for that.
No.
Well, we got a head shake down on the end. Go ahead.
Because as currently, right now, a handicap ramp cannot encroach into the front yard setback, and if they're built at the front yard setback line and the ramp needs to come in the front, there is not room at the moment.
These are probably would be built as a slab on grade, so they'll be close to the ground anyway, so handicap accessibility you can get through the garage or the front, you know, most of them in the front. They're going to be at grade. Again, that's part of the age-targeted design of the architecture.
I would add, that's something that we're looking at. I mean, it just seems, and we actually had an ordinance that was introduced to deal with that, and it got pulled just because there were some issues that came up with it, just in terms of how it affected some other things, but to eliminate the need for variances for handicap ramps, you know, so we'll probably be revisiting that sometime in the next.
That will involve an ordinance change, though.
Yeah, right. Because right now you technically would need a variance.
That absolutely needs to be on our list of things to do because we need to accommodate that. That's going to be something that's going to happen.
Right. Aren't steps, uncovered steps, allowed to encroach 5 feet into the front yard?
Yeah, it just depends. But ramps sometimes just depends on how they.
Yeah, and I get what you're saying about slab one grade. I understand that, and I'm sure the rest of the commission does too. That you just wouldn't. You're not trying to overcome 24 or 30 inches. So.
Right.
But we have other places where we will need to be doing that. So it's sort of a. This is just a little add-on discussion to your application.
Yeah, this doesn't affect the application.
Not really about you. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, anyone else on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision. We're going to call the office tomorrow. Yes, sir. The next item.